first speaker is Luce C.
Hi, family. My name is Lucy and I'm an addict. I don't know if I'm supposed to hug you or what. Am I supposed to hug you? I don't know.
I'll never do
this. In New York, we do that when we come up,
yeah,
right? I'm an addict recovering from the disease of addiction, and my name is Lucy. I'm trying to center my career, trying to center my stomach. And I want to say, first and foremost, I want to thank this convention for thinking enough of this addict to ask me to come down and share my experience, strength, and hope. I know my sister here is going to be sharing right after me, so I wanted to run over there to her too, and just, but we felt each other, right? We did that. We do. That's what we do, right? Just want to say, I want to thank God, you know, for keeping me clean another day. I want to thank God for sponsorship, right? Because this is a process that takes place, right? We come around for a while. I have actually accepted that all the work that has been done in front of me, that has been placed in front of me, was of God, right? And a sponsorship was important. I have people, I have friends today in this fellowship. I have very close friends, right? And through the surrendering of the process of this recovery thing, right? Because that's how I understood it right in the beginning. Like, it was just an initial surrender. I've been able to find some people that that have helped me through this process and have helped me through the stumbling blocks, right, of recovery, right? And I didn't understand what surrender meant at all. And I just want to say that I'm real grateful. I'm a very grateful addict. And I came into this fellowship, and I didn't know that this fellowship and this program would work for me, right? There was doubts in my life. I came in here April 26, 1990. And I was in Brooklyn, New York. I was raised in Brooklyn, New York, and most of my recovery was there. That's where I built my foundation. That's where I made my first meetings. I came in, I heard the message of hope in a program, and I was a newcomer, and they said, they called us newcomers, and these people were bringing the message there. Right, I want to go stick to the topic, but I want to say that in there, right, a lady said, a lady said that if you thought you had a problem, and if you think that you don't have a problem, but you're in that place that you do have a problem. And I just couldn't understand any of that. I just knew that I was just there. And my thoughts was about using in that place. I wasn't thinking about any of that. But I knew that I wanted to get out of there. You know, I was desperate. I wanted to get out of there. I didn't know anything about surrender. But she said that if you surrender, when you come out and you come to this place where she goes to, that there you will be able to find some more help, right? So my thought was, I can get out of there. I can use a little and go back and get a little more help, right? But that's not how that works. I got out of there, and this lady helped me. She carried me into the fellowship. She brought me to another fellowship, though. And I have to say that. And they couldn't identify with me, and I couldn't identify with them. And I went to share about where I was at. They said, let her share. And I shared about where I was at. And they said, get her out of here. This is not where she goes. She needs to go to another fellowship. And they brought me to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and I want to tell you that I have been on a journey that when I look back at everything that I have surrendered, because there's so many different levels of surrender that take place in this process, that sometimes I'm surrendering and I don't even know I'm surrendering. I just know that I'm doing the right thing. And when I sit back and I look at what I just did, I say, wow, I just surrendered. I didn't even know, right? Because it feels right, right? I know when I'm doing the right thing because it feels right inside, right? And then I go to sleep and my conscience is completely clear behind the decision I had just made in the daytime, whatever that is, right? I took some notes on this paragraph, right? You know, again, a big paragraph. Surrender the stumbling block of our addiction, which has become the cornerstone of our recovery, right? The cornerstone of our recovery. I mean, I looked up some words, right? Because it's good to look up these words because it gives me more insight, right, on what I'm actually gonna speak about again, right? Because I know what surrender means. So when I looked at surrender this time, right, it said, cease resistance to an enemy or an opponent and submit to the authority, right? But for me, it's to bring something to an end, right? And cornerstone. Cornerstone, an important quality, right? So surrender became an important quality in this process for me, right? Like, through that surrendering, right, it became the cornerstone, right? I said, wow, like, I would never have thought that in the surrendering process that I would find hope, right, or that it would become something that would be greater than what it sounds like. Because when you hear surrender, when I hear surrender, I think the police, surrender, you know, you're under arrest, up against the wall, right? Now, that was not a part of my story, right? But although I have been around all of that, right, because I got away because I was very slick, I was very skinny, I was very little, and I can jump through windows, and I was not afraid to jump out of a second floor window, right? Especially if I had drugs and I needed to leave, right? You was not taking me in like that. So I always got away, right? I'm an addict that used for 14 years, and I did everything, right? Everything. Somebody from time to time, I don't know what it is, I guess, you know, when we become more attractive and we clean up and we look good and we put on our shoes and say, well, she don't look like an addict. Well, I'm an addict. I want to tell you that. I'm an addict. I took drugs. I lived to use and used to live. And I want to say that it was no specific drugs. If it was placed, anything that was put in front of me, I took. There was just one drug that I was going after and nobody wanted to share it with me. And their story was that they did not want to prick my arms. I know they were just being greedy, right? But I was looking for somebody to give me heroin. I wanted to shoot drugs up my arms. That was the last thing for me, right? And, you know, it was scary, you know, in the surrender, right, process. First, when I first came in here, you know, I looked at it as just like surrendering, right? I said, because I didn't know anybody, right? When you have no experience, you don't know. So I said, I'm surrendering to my addiction. What I surrendered to my addiction when I was using, right? When I come in here, I have to surrender to the program, right? I have to surrender to these principles, right? I have to surrender to what this program has to offer, right? The sponsor said to me, you don't surrender to your addiction. You've been surrendering that. You've been doing that. That's why you're where you at. Right now, you have to surrender to some principles. You have to surrender to this program. You have to come in here and find the help that you need, right? And, like, I didn't want to always be with that one person, right? Because I had a lot of problems when I came in here, right? I don't know if you did, but I know I did, right? So I had a whole lot of problems. I came in here with a little girl that she wasn't in my life yet, but as soon as I kept clean, they gave her back to me. And everybody took care of her, and she was a menace. She was like Menace, Dennis the Menace, you know. And I didn't know what to do with this child. You know, I'm coming to recovery. I'm looking at this child. I'm like, wow, you know, like, I got a kid. What am I going to do with her? I got to deal with my addiction. I didn't know anything about being manageable. I didn't know anything about getting up in the morning and combing her hair, right, because I had a child my daughter has very curly hair, and I didn't know that I would have to comb that hair. I didn't know how to comb my hair, her hair, because my hair was soft, and so I did whatever I knew how to do, so I would just boil it up. But because I was using, right, most of the time, I kept it braided for weeks, right? And if you braid your hair, right, and you know what happens after a week, you keep your hair braided, right? And I'm talking about leaving her hair the way it was for 2 and 3 weeks, because I didn't have time, right? I had not truly, I had not come into, you know, I came in here and I had not truly surrendered. Like, I was still thinking that I could live a certain way and I didn't have to surrender. Like, I had to just surrender myself to this program, but I didn't have to surrender all the other things, right? It was a whole lot of stuff, right? Defects of character, right? There's so many things in the beginning that I struggled with because I had this child. I didn't want this child now because I really didn't care about this child. And I have to, this is me being honest. I did not care. I did not want her. I did not love this child. I did not because I wasn't there. You know, there wasn't a bond between me and this child. This child was in the way of my life. So I'm coming into recovery. I'm trying to center myself. I'm trying to be a better mother, right? I'm trying to get to a place where I can begin to live, right? And I can see my life and surrender all these things that are coming up in my life that I really don't want to give up. I don't want to give them up, right? I don't want to, I stop. Okay, so I surrender, I stop using drugs. So now you tell me I surrender drugs, now I got to surrender all these other things, right? Why do I have to surrender some of the behaviors? Let me flow through them. Let me figure it out, right? Because that's me being willful, coming in here, wanting to do what I want to do, the way I want to do it, trying to work my own program, right? So the sponsor said, you don't work your program like that. That's not what you do, Lucy. Just because you stop using drugs, that doesn't mean that you gotta continue to act out on these defects. You have to let those defects go, right? So in my second step, right, I learned to trust in another human being, right? But in trusting the other human being, right, I learned that I had to be open-minded to the suggestions that they were giving me, and I didn't want to be open-minded to that, right? I did not want to be open-minded because there was things that was the truth. I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear it. I was very defiant, right? I have to surrender everything. I have to surrender everything, right? If I want to recover, right? If not, I'm going to lose my recovery, right? Because that's the way it was, right? If I don't surrender everything, I will not be able to recover. The second step made it possible, right, that surrender for me to find the hope that I needed so that I could move on into the third step, right? So I'm not going through all the steps. I'm just saying the surrender process, how it had been a stumbling block for me through this recovery process, right? In the third step, I didn't want to turn my world over. Now I just turned some things over. I stopped the drugs. Now what else do you want, right? So I kept fighting. Right now, I didn't have a God in my life. I didn't grow up with a mother who believed in any concept of a God. She had a false God, right? She had a Bible, and I always remember she had it on top of this television, the old television. It was like a square television that it was so old and it sat there so long you could blow dust off of it. And the only time that she went to that, right, was when she was going to go play bingo, she was going to go gamble, she would put her hand on it, God, let me hit the number one more time, and she would run out the door, right? So that was what I'm supposed to believe in? I don't know. I was lost with a God in recovery, and that's really hard. So if you've been here for a while and you don't know how to find a God, right, of your own understanding, right, you have to find some answers. And it was difficult for me because when I came around, there wasn't that many women around. The women were not doing the work. The men were doing the work. The men were doing it, and they were telling me stay men with the men and women with the women. I had no choice. I had to go to the men. I had men guiding me in my recovery because there was no women doing step work, not in that side of town. I didn't have money to get from point A to point B. I didn't have that luxury. I didn't have any money. I came out of a detox. My mother had taken my daughter. She told me, okay, now you're clean, you're making meetings, now here's your daughter. And I had to take her wherever I went, you know? So that's why, the only reason why I had to stick with the men, right? Not that it's a bad thing, but they guided me through my recovery and they helped me and they loved me unconditionally and none of them made a pass on me. You know, they really like allowed me to get clean and do what I needed to do, and they were there until they found a woman for me, right? So, you know, I move on, right? So the sixth step, right? I have to surrender, right? The defects now. right, to a loving God, right? I have to surrender that too. I love living in my defects. You know, that's like, that was like the, I think that for all the things, living in defects, because it filled my void. It gave me instant gratification, right? It made me feel so good inside. But I carried them for so long, right? And like, I was very secretive about mine, right? Like, not all of my friends knew all my secrets, right? Like, I could have friends and you wasn't gonna know all my secrets, because I had some that you just are not gonna know, because I wasn't willing to let them go. And that's how I was living in recovery. I was holding on to some stuff, and I wasn't 100% honest with the sponsor. I was telling them what I wanted them, what I was willing to let go of, but I wasn't willing to let go of all of them. So, you know, when I held on to that, I suffered, right? There were barriers. Those were barriers, you know, that I was creating for myself by doing that. So I have to be completely honest. Now in the seventh step, I had to now not only surrender the defects, but surrender the shortcomings, right, that come behind it, right? I have to let everything go. I can't just say, okay, take this and not this, take this and not that. I have to keep going. The addiction process that I thought, right, it was okay, right, in my addiction, I'm thinking that because I'm clean and I'm not using drugs, it's okay for me to live the way I was living, right? It was not okay. I had to let everything go. As I gradually let go of the things that were causing me to act out, right, I was learning that as I let them go, I learned to live better. I learned to live in more peace, that I'm no longer am gonna feel hurt behind what I just did, right? So as I started experiencing some freedom from some of this pain that I was creating for myself because I wasn't willing to let them go, I wasn't willing to surrender, I wasn't willing to talk about it, right? I started to feel a little bit happier, because now I wasn't going to bed crying, because I went to bed and I cried after the things that I was doing, or the things that I thought about doing, right? Because a lot of times I wanted to shoot people in here, right? So and people look at me like, wow, I can't believe you would talk like that. I'm an addict. And I'm not using that as a way to justify my behavior. I'm just saying the way I think. My thinking could take me off, right? My husband looks at me, right? He says, we constantly like joke around. He says, you're not gangster. See, I was always so scared that I would shoot you. You wasn't coming close to me. I was terrified, right? I wasn't big, I was small. I was 98 pounds, right? And you know, I ran the streets and I had a big mouth. I had a big mouth in the street, but I was really, really scared. I was a frightened woman on the inside, but I felt that I had to talk this way to protect myself, right? The surrender process for me today, right, is surrendering. I have to surrender everything, right? I surrender my will and my life to the care of God every single day, right? I have a daughter who, you know, like shakes me, man. Like I don't want to, like I want to go at it with her, right? Like no, like I want to tell her that she's wrong and she's this. She's 36 years old. I have to surrender that, man. I can't continue to fight with that, right? Because not only in acceptance and surrendering in the first step from your drug addiction, I'm talking about acceptance and surrendering and later on in life of other issues, right, that take place in my life. Can I recover from that? And sometimes I don't want to accept that, and I don't want to surrender those things that are going on in this relationship with this child. But so guess what happens? The insanity returns. Right? I become unmanageable, right? Everybody feels it in the house, because when you try to talk to me, I'm like, I need my space, right? And the cooking doesn't get done, right? So now my husband's like, I gotta eat Chinese food again. You know, so, you know, like, it happens, right? But recovery doesn't exempt you from having to go through painful situations in recovery, right? Just because I'm clean doesn't mean life doesn't show up. I have to be grounded, and I have to be ready, and I have to me, I have to stay grounded and stay close, have a relationship with the God that I believe in today, that I know that has been there, right? Today I know this God has been there, right? I learn about a God in here. In here. What a gift, right? Like, I knew nothing about a God when I was out there, but I came in here, right? So what I did was I tapped into you and I talked to you privately and I spoke to you privately, and everybody gave me a little insight of what this God is and what this God can't do, right? So I was able to find my own God, you know? And through that, right, I've been able to accept that I have, that I do have, you know, some qualities, right, through the surrendering, right, that can take me further, that it's not just that moment, right? Like, because sometimes I beat myself up because I don't want to surrender, right? So I want to hold on to something. I'm like, I should have let that go a long time ago. I made myself sick, right? I get sick, it gets to my stomach. Oh man, I become a mess. I become a mess, a big mess, you know? And nobody feels it, and she's over there, and she's on Facebook having a good time and whatever, and I'm feeling all the pain all by myself. And I'm like, wow, you know, all I had to do was surrender. All I had to do was surrender. I have another daughter, right? And this other daughter of mine, there's things, there's weird behaviors. I don't know if you guys go through this, but when you have children and you're in recovery, and the minute, like, I smell drugs a mile away. I can smell vape. I can smell the flavor vape. I can smell the strawberry vape. I can smell it all. Listen, I was in the bathroom and I smell vape. Okay, I smell vape. So I tell my daughter, I smell vape in your room. She says, Mom, here we go again with that smelling stuff in my room. Those are my candles. My daughter has like candles all. What is going on in here? What is up with all these candles? You're trying to camouflage the scent that's really in here with all these other scents. And when she makes a strawberry with a blueberry, it's just some crazy smells coming out of that room. So my husband and I walk out of the room, and I'm like, you know what? You know, so I go back in my room. I said, God, you know, grant me the serenity to accept the things I can. Because I wouldn't even want to surrender, man. Because what I really, really want to do is just go in and say, listen, don't you know where I come from? Don't you know that before you thought about, well, I didn't think about vaping because that was later on. I've been here over 29 years. And guess what? That time, we didn't have vape. We didn't have none of that, right? And, you know, like they, you know, oh, Mom, you don't know. Okay, you think I don't know, you know. But then we'll go in her car and we'll find these little things. I know they connect to the vaping thing, right? And like, I know it sounds weird because I just don't know much of it. I just know what it looks like as I see it, you know. And like, but then I started to smell like the weed. Like, I found a piece and then I smelled one with the weed. And that's when I had to let her know, you know. I said, you know, I can surrender, right? I can let certain things go to God, right? Or there's certain things that I just need to address for my children. I ain't letting that go because I'm in recovery and I don't want to smell, I'd be damned if I want to smell some weed in my house. And I had to tell her, I said, listen, I found this in your car and this smells like weed, and you can tell me that it's a flavor, but it's a weed flavor. How about that? So what are we doing with this, you know? Oh, my friend must have. I said, okay, you can tell me your friend, whatever. All your friends drop everything in your car, you know? She had some other thing. And then, listen, I'm gonna tell y'all the truth. I went in her bag. I smelled it. The smell brought me to the closet. That's how strong it was. And I went in there and I saw another device. And I said, what is it? Oh, her mother was coming. Her mother doesn't want her to have it in her house because she can get in trouble. I said, okay, so you can have it in my house. You think it's not going to get you in trouble? I don't want it here any more than she wants it in her house, you know? So, you know, I surrender, man. I surrender. I have to surrender on so many different levels, right? The beginning, it's just, we'd call it 1.0, surrender later on, 2.0, surrender later on, 3.0, surrender, right? You got it. Everything is about surrendering, man. Surrendering, right? Like that, I can't allow my emotions to dictate to me what I should do, right? I have to pause, I have to think, and then I can act, right? Sometimes I have to pause so long that I have to like go call somebody, say, listen, help me. And if you're not there, I have to call you. And if you're not there, I have to call you, because I can't do it alone, right? Because sometimes I just know that it, that my will, like I'm going to say it's my will, right, tells me that I don't need to surrender. I need to address them, but I can't, because I know how I can get, right? I can get angry and I can get aggressive and I become, you know, then I'm lost, right? I have to stand up, you know, when surrendering and practicing, you know, to the surrender process, right? I have to stand up to that, right? I have to, like, know that when I surrender, I have to follow that through. I can't just say, you know what, I'm going to surrender and just go back after it. Because sometimes it just doesn't sit still with me. I have to follow it through, right? Surrender is an action word. Taking action means that I'm going to practice some principles, that I'm going to practice being disciplined, right? I have to be disciplined in this process of recovery, right? In this 11th step, right, I have to practice the principle of knowing that I have a God, right? That through my prayer, meditation, that I can listen, I can be heard, and I can listen, right? But I have to follow, I have to listen for something, right? Sometimes I don't have to do anything. I just have to just know that I have to sit still with myself, and God will reveal to me what to be done. Sometimes he fixes everything in front of me, and I don't have to even touch it, right? Like, I had an issue with her weight, right? So I tried to, you know, in the beginning it was hard to see my daughter eating a lot, a pretty girl, gaining over 200 pounds, and she's under 5'3", and I'm like, oh my goodness, and she's going to school, she's studying to be a veterinarian, and then she's working at a pizza parlor part-time, so she's moving, and so my mind goes over as an addict, right, thinking, I don't stop, thinking that my daughter's running, and they're running into her, and then she's big, and this and that, and she tells me that men say certain things to her, and they, you know, and I said, okay, so what do you do about this? She says, I tell them, don't come back over here. You know, she stands up for herself, that she has no filter, right? She just does what she has to do. But again, my issue is that I don't want to, you know, I don't want to surrender. I want to keep going back to her, and I want to say, listen, you know, like in the beginning, I remember one time getting so angry. I said, stop eating that. You're going to get fat. So I learned that I can't talk like that, right? I have to surrender and you know, and getting help, because I have to ask for help sometimes, because I didn't have that experience, right? I didn't experience that, so I don't know what to do. So I learned now today that I have to talk to her and say, because of health reasons, right? Now I want you to eat healthier, right? I remember going to the doctor when she was much younger, and I saw that my daughter had a problem with addiction. I saw it because she was eating behind the sofa. She was throwing little wrappers behind the garbage can. She was doing weird things. And I asked the doctor, I said, listen, I need help. I don't know what to do with my daughter. She said, what's the problem? She said, you're the problem. I said, I'm the problem. How am I the problem? He said, you're the problem because you're the person that buys the food and puts it in the house. Wow, you know, and it was true, you know. So I just didn't want to accept that, but I had to surrender to the fact that my daughter had a problem at an early age with her own addiction, right, with an addiction, an eating problem, and I had to leave her alone, right? I just couldn't, I had to change the food that I bought in the house, and that helped me get some relief through that, right? I got some relief from that. Because now I'm not struggling and fighting her, but she knows. And she's trying her best, right? She's trying to work out. She's trying to do some things. So I stood back. I surrendered. I stood back. And guess what? She's trying to lose some weight. She's changing her eating habits. You know, from time to time, I'll see the little cupcake in the refrigerator, though, right? And I'm like, okay, whatever it is, I'm just going to leave it alone. Because I know that it bothers her when I bring it up, you know? And I try not to bother her too much with that, you know? I have to continue to discipline myself, right, on a daily basis if I want to live spiritually, you know, in this process of surrender. So that means that I'm not going to, you know, if you say in the beginning that, you know, I always tell my sponsors, why am I struggling with this? Why am I struggling? Because you're not surrendering. We struggle when we don't surrender, right? So if I don't want to struggle, I need to continue to practice the principle of discipline and continue to practice that every day, right? And take an inventory of where I'm at and just stop, just pause, right? So I can live spiritually, so I don't have to act out on my defects of character, so I don't have to get nasty with the next person that comes by after I just had an ugly confrontation with you because I wasn't willing to practice some principles, right? I didn't want to accept something. I didn't want to surrender. I just wanted to act out on my own self-will and do what I always did, right? Just give up and just fight because that's what I always known best, you know? I know my time is short. It's done. You know, newcomers, you know, please keep coming back, you know? If nobody told you they love you today, I love you all, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.
Ruben. Help me thank Lucy for sharing her experience and help with us. Our next speaker is Sharika A.
I'm loud, but I really do like for everybody to be able to hear me. My name's Sharika, and I'm an addict. First of all, I would like to invite the God of my understanding into my speaking. This is something that I was taught to do each and every time I carried a message of Narcotics Anonymous. God, take my will in my life. Guide me in my recovery and show me how to live and step into my spirit and let me carry a sufficient message of Narcotics Anonymous. Thank you. And the topic of surrender, the stumbling block of our addiction, has become the cornerstone of our recovery. I'm one of those, gotta have all my books, right? So when I got this topic, I immediately went to my support group that is book dumpers. I like being a book dumper. I don't know about nobody else. I like being a book dumper. And the reason why is because I like to be thorough about the knowledge that's in recovery. And when he told me it was in It's Words High and Why under step 11, I said step 11 is seeking prayer and meditation to improve a conscious contact with the God of our understanding as we understood him, right? And praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. So in step 11, we got to get some knowledge. And who we get it from? We get it from the source. So when I got the topic about surrendering, it took me to the prayer and meditation. And the reason why it took me to the prayer and meditation, because in It How It Works High and Why, on page 106, at the end of that paragraph, it says, we no longer shy away from spiritual growth because it has so essential. It is so essential to maintaining the peace of mind we found. Perhaps at the beginning of our recovery, we have worked the steps because we were in pain and afraid we would relapse if we didn't. That was me. That was me. I didn't get clean in Houston, even though I live in Houston. My home group is in Houston. I got clean in San Antonio, Texas, and I thank God for San Antonio, Texas being my foundation. I thank God for the Nooners group. I thank God for the Genesis group, and I thank God for Recovery North. Those are the meetings that helped me build my foundation in San Antonio, Texas. I raised my kids there. I came to Narcotics Anonymous by way of CPS being involved in my life for me testing positive for marijuana and cocaine. And that was 16 years ago. My clean date is 10-10-2012. So it's not my first time coming around. Newcomers, you can get it one time and don't have to come back. But relapse is a part of my story. I thought I had it made when I left San Antonio and came to Houston, because I came here with some clean time. I came here with some step work knowledge. I came here with some sponsorship knowledge. I came here with some support group knowledge. So that stumbling block that it says, I created my own stumbling block, because I came here with an I Know It All-ism jacket, and you couldn't tell me nothing. My very first day entering Narcotics Anonymous, I slapped a chairperson at Nooners. I know. And Enrique brought it back up yesterday, and it was so funny. Like, five of them was outside in the lobby that remember that day. I actually stood up on the table, slapped all the papers, because I didn't know nothing about you get your paper signed, and then you get it back at the end of the meeting. So I'm already mad with CPS, so I want to fight somebody. And I'm one of them feisty girls, so I understand you, Lucy. I'm one of them feisty girls, still is. Seriously. You can ask the men at my home group. They'll tell you in a minute. But it's just the fact that I was raised two different lifestyles at the same time in my life. I had a biological mother that died to this disease of addiction. And Katrina, I watched her take a last hit before the water hit and she drowned. And I also had an adopted life that was all military. I have seven brothers that are military, and I'm the only girl. So that stumbling block for me, it went back. It went back because I had a life of people that didn't use and people that lived a military life, did things the right way, went to church, and you couldn't even put your hands on table. We had table manners and stuff like that. And then I had a mother, biological mother, and father who were married. But my mother didn't care nothing about it, any one of us. And I'm the second to the oldest of five girls and one boy of that family. And I wind up raising my mama's children. So, like I said, I lived two different lives at the same time. I have this biological family who is decent, that I never paid attention to the morals and the standards of life. That stumbling block. I had my evidence then. I didn't pay attention to it. I ran to that wild side and chose the life that my mom, that I kept saying I never wanted, I did. And as a result of that, I was able to see, by coming into recovery in San Antonio, Texas, that CPS stepped in my life, and I knew I didn't want my family, my kids, to be torn away from me. My son was 2 and my daughter was 8 at the time. Let me tell you, I didn't raise my daughter. At the age of 3, I gave her up to her godmother for temporary custody so I can go to Job Corps. Because her godmother told me, you either work or you go to school. I said, well, I'm going to do both. I'm going to go to Job Corps. She said, well, who going to raise? I said, I'll give you temporary custody while I'm in school. That way I make money as well and send it home. And I did that. In that process, a damaged relationship happened between her godmother and I, and she made her turn against me. In that time of me being gone and trying to educate myself, the stumbling block was that I couldn't stop my daughter's godmother from putting her against me. So she got her at age 3 and kept her away from me all the way to 12. Now, mind you, I have 2 kids. My son is 20, and I raised my son from age 2 to age 17 by myself without a father. And God seemed fit. For me, you talking about an addict that raised a boy without a man. Last year, God surrendered me of control of worrying about how to tell my son how he was conceived. My son asked me, Mom, who is my dad? And I kept being ashamed of it. Because of the simple fact that my son's father and my oldest sister's baby daddy is the same daddy. So that means that my niece and my son is brother and sister and first cousin. And I had a very hard time with saying that because I know it's incest. And I know I was young, dumb, and stupid. I was getting high, and I was acting out. And God stepped in and allowed my son to get on social media and find him because he asked me his name, and I told him his name. And my son bugged him for a year. That stumbling block of me not wanting to tell my son who his daddy is because of the way I conceived him. Me and my sister had a threesome, and I'm the one that got pregnant. It was so hard to tell him that. It was so hard. But I surrendered to the fact, and I told him. Right after that, God allowed that man to call my phone and ask me where my son was a year ago. And I said, he's in California because he left Houston when he turned 18. And he said, can you please put him on the phone? So I three-wayed my son. And for the first time in my life, I muted my phone and I let him and the man talk. For the first time in 17 years, my son talked to his biological father without me being in it. I was just the phone call that needed to happen in order for God to step in and allow that stumbling block that I put there for 17 years in my son's heart, because he hated me behind it, because I never let a man be that close to him. That was a hard pill to swallow, because my disease of addiction didn't want me to tell my son the truth and face reality that I wasn't perfect, that his dad wasn't perfect, my sister wasn't perfect. All of us made amends to my son that day. And as a result, my son knows who his father is. He has had an amends for me, my sister, and his father. That couldn't happen without Narcotics Anonymous, y'all. That couldn't have happened without Narcotics Anonymous. Man, I can create a lot of my own stumbling blocks, even clean in recovery. I'm one of those hard-headed addicts, and I have to have the experience proven in order for me to know that I have to surrender. I am queen of picking up a relationship. Seriously. I have had to work several four steps on picking up relationships. Now, when I came to Houston, I came to Houston with 5 years clean. I came to Houston, got married to somebody that wasn't in the fellowship, didn't want to know anything about my past. I didn't want to know anything about his past. I said I wanted to be married. He said, let's go to the courthouse. And we went to the courthouse, and there it was. We were married for 6 years, and I relapsed. He didn't make me relapse. I relapsed. All he said was, I don't know nothing about the meetings. I don't know why you're telling them people all our business. Your sponsor needs to stop coming to this house, and you need to stop calling them. And you know what happened after all that stopped? I relapsed. We're 6 years clean. Because I thought I had it made. I thought I had the husband, the house, the family, everything. I let my foundation go. I let my foundation go. I allowed my foundation to be removed out of my life. Newcomers, do never change your foundation. When you stuck and you don't know what to do, pick up the phone, call somebody, or make a meeting and tell on yourself. Since 10/10/2012, I have been telling on myself. Every single meeting. I make meetings because they make sense. I don't have to get a paper signed no more. It makes sense. Everything I need, want, and then some has been in the rooms. There is no one in Narcotics Anonymous that has not faced my dilemma and found the way out clean. I'm serious. Even stuff that I have not been through yet. I found out that if you want to change your life, you can if you want to become whatever your goal is. Whether you want to get a house, you want to get a car, you want to learn how to drive, you want to learn how to get an education, you want to learn how to do something with yourself, all of that is in Narcotics Anonymous. The anonymity part is that we may have something else added to the name of recovery that is educational and higher standard. We as addicts are very unique people. We are very smart. We are very intelligent. And we can do a lot of things if we give ourselves a break and stay. We can see the value within ourselves. Mm-hmm. Because that stumbling block is in the way. We think we are the low of the low. But the God of my understanding, who I choose to call God, when I stop, I pause, and I pray, and I ask this power for his will and the power to carry that out. And then I'm that addict that was taught to go and meditate after I pray. And for me, meditation is reading the word until I hear the answer of the question that I asked him. And I stay there sometimes for days, sometimes for months, sometimes for hours, sometimes for minutes. And it works for me. I can see the direction of the God of my understanding. Am I perfect at it? So far, it's been working for me. So far, it's been working for me. I don't need anything else outside of me to satisfy me. I haven't been in a relationship in the last 8 months. I haven't even wanted to be in one. I don't even want to be touched. Seriously. For the first time in my life, I ain't touching myself. And I'm enjoying it. I'm loving not having to answer to him, they, and it. Seriously. I love getting in my car, going to a meeting, and when I leave the meeting, where you going, Sharika? To another meeting. Love you. Bye, Felicia. That's me. And yeah, it's me. And no longer am I willing to hurt anybody or anything. You know, I have learned that I can help men and women in recovery as long as my motives are right. Long as I ain't trying to get in a bed with you, and I definitely want to see you live, then I can help you. I can tell you what I did, and I can lead you to another male or female in recovery to help you in areas that I can't. And that's what this fellowship has taught me. So the cornerstone that has been built upon those stumbling blocks that I had in my way, I had to be willing to work the steps. I had to be willing to practice the principles. I had to be willing to trust that my way of thinking about each situation was not the way. I had to surrender to the fact that the program of Narcotics Anonymous, the steps, the traditions, and my sponsors and support groups' advice was the way of life that I needed to try in order for it to work for me. And it does. It works when you work it. Can't nobody work it for you. I can't get clean for you. You have to get clean for yourself. You got to keep your desire. One thing you can do, keep your desire, you will definitely keep your clean date. Because you'll want it more than you want anything else. And you can't help but want to give it away, because that's what this program does. It teaches us how to keep what we have only by giving it away. So for me, it says, however, we cannot recover on surrender alone. So once we let go of something, that's not the end. That's not the end. We keep trudging through hard times, through sickness, through family, through life on life. Through life on life, no matter how it is. I have been homeless, jobless, penniless, childless, divorced. Now I'm a widow. I didn't kill my husband, but I beat him up with a Corona bottle more than once. And he's deceased now. So I've been a widow the last 6 years. And I didn't even see a blessing in that until my daughter got married a year ago on Mother's Day. And this year, her husband passed on Mother's Day. So my daughter is a widow. So I was able to share the experience of what losing your husband is about and how that feels. I can relate something to my daughter that I never could before. And now we got a deep bond. But see, we place prayer and meditation in its proper priority place in the 11th step. And it tells us exactly how to do that. Sometimes we need to know that quieting the mind, getting all our thoughts, all that racingness, that committee that's talking to us, we can shut it up. We can shut it up. We can. I also suffer from a mental illness, too, that I take medications from. I remember in San Antonio, Texas, that I walked outside naked and thought I was Jesus with 6 months clean. So if I can stay clean, anybody can stay clean. So for me, I put prayer and meditation as a top priority because when all else fails and I don't want to believe in anybody else, I can believe in that higher power. I can. Trust the process. Trust the process. If it seems too hard right now, it too shall pass. It definitely will pass. Don't let nobody tell you that you got to stay in that funk as long as you is. Nah, that ain't true. I done been through some humps, some hurdles that I had to sit in a meeting. After all the things I have done to myself and face myself and surrender to the fact that I did this to me and still walk in integrity. I didn't get here just by yesterday stopping. I got here because I kept stopping. One thing at a time, I worked on. Have all my defects of character been removed? No. Has all my shortcomings has been removed? No. Sometimes I have stumbling blocks that it takes years and multiple years to work on. I'm the better Sharika than I used to be. I no longer want to fight, hit, nobody. So the stumbling block of me retaliating or taking it out on somebody, I don't handle it like that. I handle things like that in a spiritual manner now. I pray for those that I want to hit. Slap. Mm-hmm. In the rooms. I pray for those. And I learn in doing that, I build a stronger awareness within myself to see my spiritual foundation come to a point of comfort where I can walk and say, you know what, I love you today. Even though I'm mad. Or even though they may say something that I didn't like and stepped on my toes. Or did something to me in the name of they want to act out on their character defects. But guess what, it's not my judge. It's not my dictation to tell them they're not practicing these spiritual principles. They have to reach the point of their own surrender to where they're willing to work on that. And I gotta let it be that way. That's the reason why this program suggests that there's room for all manifestations of the recovering person. And the reason why it specifies it for the person is because we all have to have our own individual walk, but our walk is what keeps our diversity strong. And I have learned that. What works for you in recovery and what keeps you clean may not help me right now, but I can keep it in a tool bag that when I'm faced with that dilemma, I can go back in that bag and pick it up and try it and it works. It may not work today, but it may work 5 years from today. So for that, I'm learning how to use the basic elements of this program. Man, remember that surrender is to win. Surrender is to win. I no longer have to fight a battle that's endless of winning. We don't win by fighting the battle. We win by surrendering. And I no longer run on self-will at all. I'm not even willing. I have a sponsor family that believes in seeking through prayer and meditation on almost everything. When one of us is in the hospital, we immediately form a prayer and meditation instantly. And I'm gonna share this and I'm gonna probably wrap it down. 5 minutes? Okay, cool. And at my home group, I had some old timers. I have 6 years clean. Everybody else have 20, 30 years clean, right? And it didn't make me feel grandiose. It just surprised me that a lot of the old timers were going through suffering and they came to me and asked me to pray for them. Who knew that the old timers would see a spiritual life in me that are them? I thought it was supposed to be the newcomer, supposed to be attracted to what the old timer got. Right. But it really just touched my inner soul to let me know that my prayers and my meditation life can attract the old timers. I'm getting goosebumps talking about that because we have way over 200 old-timers in my group. We're the oldest group in Texas alive and kicking. And man, when I tell you that prayer changes things, meditation reveals the answers. Thank you for letting me share.